Welcome to the latest edition of the Delaware Biblecast, a podcast ministry from Delaware Bible Church. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Harris, and joining me today is our Elder Chairman, John Pierce. John, thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me on, Pastor Brad.
You bet. So one of the things that we would like to do through this podcast ministry is we would like to share testimonies and great faith stories from those within our church body. And so as we began doing this with our podcast ministry, we thought one of the best ways to do that would be to hear the testimonies and stories of our elders from our church. Because you may know many of the elders who are pastors that are serving. You may even know John. But there are some other elders serving in our ministry who you don't know quite as well. And so this is going to give us an opportunity to be able to learn more about them, to hear their stories, and to many things about them. So John, as we begin, if you wouldn't mind, I would just ask you to just tell us a little bit about yourself, about your family, and what you do professionally.
Great, thanks. So we are, the Pierces, we're kind of new in the last 5 years at Delaware Bible. I was born and raised in Central Ohio. My family still lives here. Kathy, she was born and raised in a little town in north near Sandusky called Berlin Heights. Most people haven't heard of that. And so I grew up in kind of the suburbs, as she would call it, or city, and she grew up on a dairy farm. So she's more of the farm girl. I'm the city boy. So that's a little bit of our background there. We've been married for 23 years. We met at Northwest Bible Church in Hilliard. Me being in Central Ohio, I lived in Dublin after I got out of college, and we met at Northwest Bible Church in Hilliard during our college years. They had a very vibrant singles ministry that was actually decimated by the success of singles meeting one another and becoming married over time. So that took a number of years for that to happen, but eventually that ministry did turn into the young marrieds ministry. So we're very thankful for that. And so from my children perspective, we have the Lord has blessed us with three beautiful daughters. We've got Madison, Megan, and Mallory, ages 21, 19, and 17. And Maddie and Megan are both at college in Cedarville, Ohio, where they're studying. Maddie's a senior. She'll be graduating this year, thank the Lord. And Megan is a sophomore. And then Mallory is our last daughter at home. She's a homeschool senior this year and looking forward to college next year. A little bit about myself, maybe I'll start with Kathy first on what we do from a professional perspective is that the Lord really has enabled Kathy and myself for her to be able to stay at home mom and a homemaker for the last 20 years. So her job is the harder of the two, but is actually easier to describe. For myself, I work in information technology at a company called Leidos. I've been there for 20 years. It was easier to describe years ago when I did a lot of technical hands-on work. I would say mostly I'm doing technical management aspects and directing. So that's a little bit about us, and I think we'll talk a little bit more in the future here, just briefly about what led us to DBC.
So tell us, John, what are some things that you and your family, what do you enjoy doing for fun, or outside of, you know, the church walls, the work walls, all that kind of stuff, what do you enjoy doing for fun?
Well, my first thought on that is fun. What is that? So we don't probably spend enough time doing outside activities or things extracurricular. When we moved up to Ashley about 5 years ago, part of what became fun was just tinkering around the homestead. So we, you know, having a garden, doing outdoor activities. I have 6 acres of grass. People probably listening to this saying, how in the world would that be fun? But, you know, really for 5 and 6 hours, I can listen to podcasts on my zero-turn mower and not be interrupted. So I really do enjoy listening to podcasts, reading online. I'm not a big book reader. I probably need to do better at that. But reading online, a lot of material, listening to different speakers, YouTube videos, that are of a biblical nature or challenge me in my career. Those are fun things I like to do. As a family, we do like to get away and do some boating. So I have access to my dad's boat. We don't live too far from Delaware Reservoir, which we've been able to take advantage of quite a bit this summer. Fishing, although not around these parts. I've been spoiled by when I was a young boy. My parents would take us up as a family up to middle of Ontario to a cabin up there where the fishing's unbelievable compared to what we experience here in the States. So I really do enjoy fishing when I get a chance. And then I'm a problem solver at heart. That's kind of my engineering background. So tinkering on difficult problems around the home or different home improvement activities that we're doing or different projects, or just even somebody brings a laptop and says, I can't figure this out. So just problem solving. I do enjoy that.
Problem solving and, of course, spreadsheet creating. John is...
there's a fair amount of that.
Yeah, he is a superstar spreadsheet maker, as we have found out through the Elder Board. So thanks for sharing some of those things. We'd just appreciate hearing about your testimony and about how you came to Christ and how you, when it was that you trusted him as your Lord and personal Savior.
Yeah. So growing up in the Pierce family, we were always in church every Sunday, every Sunday night, Wednesday night. Can I get a hearty amen? thankfully, the day I was born was a Saturday, because who knows what would have happened if it had been on one of those other days. We might have had to cancel my birth and go to church. But, as a young boy, I grew up in a quite a religious home with all the window dressing that usually accompanies that life, the kind of lifestyle. It was in a GARBC Baptist church is where we went. And so I went to a Christian school. I drove to school in a Christian car. I played Christian sports, had a Christian dog, listened to Christian rock music. Let's not go there for a second. And then went on Christian vacations, dated Christian girls, and hung out with Christian friends, watched Christian music, and eating Christian junk food. Of course, I adjust a little bit when I'm labeling some of these things as Christians, but it's not really that far off. It's probably more accurate to state that I've rarely ventured outside the religious arena, except for maybe save a few questionable influences in my neighborhood, much to my parents' chagrin, with some of my childhood friends. So long story short, during my teenage years, I had the usual hang-ups that many teen boys, especially in the Christian arena, would have had trying to figure out their pecking order in society. Things like rebellion and self-reliance, arrogance, spiky hair, I think was a thing in the 80s. that seemed to come into my repertoire. And, that always annoying youthful male cockiness. And certainly I would exhibit these behaviors as I was trying to find my way. And there would be oftentimes a lot of guilt, that would cause me to circle back to the things of the Lord as I was trying to figure out my way in my early teen years. You do that loop quite a bit. And I can recall that, during different chapels or different special speakers at the Christian school that I was going to, that I would accept Christ probably more than once. In fact, if it was possible, I'm really positive it was me. I probably accepted him as Lord and Savior, I imagine, a dozen times or two over those teen years. But whether I sit in chapel or church and hear those compelling messages of God's plan of salvation, then look at my own life and say, what's missing about this? Why do I struggle? And seem to have all those outward appearances of being pretty religious, but I knew my heart wasn't right with God, and that I needed to accept his work for me. Rinse and repeat. Did that for a number of years in my teen years. So I really can't pinpoint which one of these conversions events in my life was the real experience. Reflecting upon this, here's what I do know. So I know that God saved me the very first time I accepted what Christ did for me. And I don't try to spend a lot of inordinate amount of time figuring out which confession was the real McCoy. I know that, as Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I know I did that for sure. And looking back at my salvation experience, it's not the textbook testimony that's going to draw people in, and there's going to be this, you know, major turn from a life of sin to a life of Christ. You know, my life wasn't riddled with the kinds of sin that would wreak, you know, those kinds of earthly consequences. And I thank the Lord for allowing his faithfulness, for allowing me to understand that early in life, you know, there's a lot of consequences to those, you know, to significant sins that you can imagine a young boy could get caught up in, and that he spared me from that. So considering my situation, you know, really the most significant issue that I have, and I had at that time in my lost state, is exactly the same situation that everyone else has had. And that is, you know, and it really renders the most severe consequence of all. That was before I accepted Christ, I was dead in my sins. And no matter how seemingly insignificant they were, I was bound for eternity in hell, separated from God. So Christ took that punishment from me. He died my death for my sin. And I just say, wow. You know, and after my salvation, in my probably my mid to late teens, I would notice some pretty big changes in my behavior. For instance, before Christ, I would do what I want, possibly hurting others along the way, not worrying about their, you know, my attitude and leaving, leaving some consequences behind. After I accepted Christ, I would do what I want, probably hurting some other people along the way. But now I'd feel that conviction, and for about being selfish or inconsiderate. And more often than not, you know, I would go make it right with the person that I hurt. And so I knew there was something different. And this may seem rather insignificant, but, you know, the more I grow up and I get to know the Lord, the more I realize that maintaining a right relationship with people that God has put in your life is a pretty big indicator of the rightness of my relationship with him. That's that we find in 1 John 4, 20 and 21.
Amen, and that's great stuff, John. I appreciate you sharing that, and I think that many from our congregation would say, hey, I can relate to your experience there, where there may not be this exact, hey, I remember exactly the time I had a close friend in college that same way, but I knew that God did this, I knew that I have prayed this, I knew that this was real, and I see real heart change from that. So who would you say have been some of the significant spiritual mentors that you've had in your life?
I would say for me, it's after I left high school and I left my Christian incubator and went to the Ohio State University. And so for the first time in my life, I'm thrust from this little microcosm of Christendom, right? Everything was like I described earlier, into an environment that really was the antithesis of that. And I can't imagine what it's like, honestly, today. But I went to the Ohio State University and got an engineering degree in computer science. And then this time in my life, I had mastered pretty well living as close to the edge of the world as I could without being labeled as fallen away. I kind of knew that where that line was. And at OSU, boy, did I get a rude awakening. You know, you discover folks that don't seem to care too much about your religious convictions or the lack of them. Seemed like the most important thing was acquiring loads of knowledge, having a great time, and hoping for that Buckeye victory on Saturdays. And suddenly at OSU, there were many more temptations that could pull me far from the truth, but God was faithful, even in that time, to protect me when I was dabbling with maybe crossing over that edge or had opportunity to. Let me show you how he did this. So in the first few years at college, you know, I hooked up with some students who were big-time campus crusaders, and that's the old name for, I guess, what's now called crew.
Yeah.
Yep. And so one of them we still support as a church missionary today. And through his friendship, I was greatly encouraged to walk closer to the Lord. Through this individual, I could see he was the real deal. You know, probably most significant influence on me during my college years really came through a former teacher from high school, my French teacher, Mr. Lyndon Vinovlos, and we just call him Mr. V because who can say Vinovlos? And the Lord really used Mr. V to encourage me to attend a small but growing church in Northwest Ohio. I'm sorry, Northwest Columbus, Northwest Bible, during its early years when there was a brand new pastor on board, a lot of excitement, a lot of growth that was happening in that fellowship. So while I was at Ohio State, you know, I wasn't really regularly attending my church that I'd grown up in very much during those days. A couple of us from Campus Crusade, myself, we would attend Northwest. And for the first time, Yeah, so for the first time in my life, I'm confronted with people who didn't have just mere religion. They weren't just seeking knowledge. There was this relationship, a genuineness in their approach. They wanted to do what God wanted to do, wanted them to do, because they loved him. And I really, I would say probably up to that point, really had never seen this sort of odd but strangely attractive behavior before. You know, up until then, I knew I never had really seen many people live genuinely out their faith. They seem to be a lot of rule followers in the fellowship I'd grown up with, and there's nothing, I'm not necessarily trying to throw any rocks at that fellowship. There's a lot of good people there. But boy, these individuals, they were contagious. When God lights a fire in you, man, it's hard to put out. So God lit a fire in me and a lot of those Campus Crusaders during that time. And for the first time in my life, it wasn't just something that I knew I should do, is get to know him, spend time in his word, spend time in prayer, but really to go all at it and love him and follow him because of a desire that he places in you.
Amen. Amen. That's great. So what led your family then? So you guys were at Northwest Bible, and then you moved to Ashley, and then that led you here, right?
That's right, yeah. So, I mean, I would say it's all the Lord. You know, we lived in Dublin for about, I want to say a good 15 years, maybe 20. Married, growing up, and well, that's probably about 15 years. I'm just trying to do the math quickly, and I can't do it. But in about 2003 time frame, my company closed our Central Ohio office doing some cost-cutting measures and things of that nature, shutting down smaller offices. Said, "You have to work from home." I said, "Okay, that sounds pretty okay." So, and then at the same time, Kathy made a decision, and it was probably mostly Kathy and me, very supportive spouse on the sidelines cheering for her, to start homeschooling our three girls. And that was that's probably a whole topic in itself. And so really within the span of 9 months, everybody is at home, you know, and we're in our little quarter acre postage stamp lot in this, you know, nice neighborhood in Dublin. You know anything about some of the suburbs in Ohio or in Central Ohio, and you know that these come with pretty significant tax requirements. You know, you have fantastic community services, fantastic schools. We weren't taking advantage of the schools. So we said, let's look around. So we started looking around, and we got, you know, let's get out of the city. This was kind of on the heels of 2008, you know, collapse with the economy and the great, I guess it's the, not depression, but the recession. And So we said maybe it makes sense for us to kind of get out of the city a little bit and also cut some of our tax obligation. So we found a home near Ashley, Ohio. So I grew up in Central Ohio all my life. Never heard of Ashley before. So heard of Delaware, city of Delaware, but never heard of Ashley. Well, if you drive by it and blink, you might miss it. But we did find a home that was near Ashley. We're not in the city limits. And it's on 15 acres, as I described. I love to cut grass. I don't have 15 acres of grass, but I have about six. And it was about an hour drive to Northwest Bible. We did that like once or twice. We're like, this is not going to work. Mm-hmm. So we kind of knew it wasn't going to work, but we thought maybe we'll give it some time. And you know, the last thing I encourage people is get involved in a fellowship because it's so important. And if it's a 2-hour trip, you know, there and back, you're just not going to get involved. So leaving Northwest Bible was very hard. It's where, you know, Kathy and I met in the vibrant singles ministry that was decimated by marriage. It's where I met a lot of good friends that, you know, that we talked about earlier that were very influential in my life. So it was difficult. And we tried a couple area churches, but we came to Delaware Bible one Sunday, and I recall it was a Sunday that there was some kind of cupola construction, or that was right in the middle of the lobby, and it was all under construction. Maybe you were putting...
I think that's probably, I'm going to guess, that was about the time we were putting new flooring in there, probably.
There was new flooring, but there was also, I think maybe you're putting the windows in.
Yeah, they were putting a new ceiling over top there.
Yep. So it was everything was quite under construction. We really enjoyed the biblical preaching, but I'm going to be honest and say our first impressions, maybe because it was under construction that first week, it wasn't the best, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was a little underwhelming. I remember our first day, but we came and continued to come because Scott Teedy, he maybe had a, you know, kind of, he has that knack where he can just kind of zoom in and find those people that are kind of new. And he really made us feel welcome. I remember our first Sunday, he showed us around, the property and the different ministries that are going on, expressed a lot of interest in us personally. And I can't emphasize, you know, I think back at that, I can't emphasize how important it is to be hugely welcoming and friendly and recognize those new people come in. It is monumental, in my opinion.
So it's funny, I remember that Sunday that you guys were here, and that I remember you guys, that was when we still had an 8 o'clock service.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that you guys came to the 8 o'clock service, so that was a little bit odd in and of itself that we had visitors at 8.
Right.
And just some insider info. Oftentimes, Pastor Scott, when he really is connecting with someone that's a visitor, is getting to know them well, that type of a thing, he'll often give them a tour. So I noticed it from the insider perspective, saying, who's this family with younger kids coming in at 8 o'clock, and then they're coming in and he's giving them a tour? Man, they must really be in here. This is great. That's funny. Still remember that, the 8 o'clock tour family. So
nice.
That's great, and we love having you guys here. So one of the things I think it would be interesting for people to hear are you serving as the elder chairman. That's going to have a little bit different of responsibilities than a regular elder, per se. So what are the responsibilities? I mean, of course, you still have the elder responsibilities of, you know, of being at the meetings, of shepherding the church folks, of giving input, of our votes, and all those type things. But specifically as the chairman of the elder board, what would you do that a regular one of the other 9 guys wouldn't do?
Okay, so there's probably some things that people know that I'll remind them of, is that, you know, what the elder chairman opens and runs the annual business meeting. I'll be honest, I'm not entirely sure I know all the things that the elder chairman should be doing, but that one I do know for sure. The other thing that I know that maybe people don't know is, you know, I help to organize and run the elder meetings. I'll work with the pastors to establish the meeting agenda, and I'll help drive follow-up and closing of action items and make sure we don't lose anything along the way. So kind of have some order to it. Maybe during the meeting, if I sense things are going sideways or the topic is moving in a different direction or we're getting off topic, that never happens, by the way.
Never.
Never happens. So if that happens, it's my job to sense that and also, like, bring us back to what's the point of what we're trying to accomplish here, and let's stay focused and maybe take that as an action to resolve later.
So other I know that and anyone that would come here on a regular basis would see that you're not just involved as the elder chairman, you're also involved in other ministries at our church. So what are some of the other ministries that you would be involved in here in our church body?
Okay, so probably the first thing to acknowledge is it's too many. So that's the first thing, is the other ministries I'm involved in is too many. But the all seriousness, it's there's a men's ministry that's kicking off, and we've actually had a couple meetings since last year where we've established accountability partners, and that's actually another thing that the elders do individually.
Mm-hmm.
We have accountability partners with each other, make sure that we're able to hear truth spoken into each other's lives. Also doing that with the men's ministry in general. So I have an accountability partner that I meet with regularly. I'm a worship team member when they ask, and thrilled to death to do that. I mean, for me and Kathy, worship is such a huge aspect of worship. I would say worship on the stage is a huge aspect of creating the culture, the climate, the atmosphere that facilitates, you know, people to hear the word, to be challenged and motivated by it. But I fully acknowledge that worship is not just a Sunday morning at 10 to 12 thing, but it's something that you really want to say, let's just re-energize the flock, but we need to leave worshiping, we need to come worshiping, we need to have that lifestyle of worship throughout our week, both individually, as families, or as couples. That's very significant. Awana, I started pinch hitting in Awana, and Thrill of the Death. I did a lot of that at Northwest Bible when our girls were younger. I think I did about 8-10 years of that. This is new territory for me to be in the TNT group.
Third and fourth.
Yeah. Looking forward to that and just getting to know some of the kids and just see their excitement. When they see you in the parking lot, and now we connect, you know, so you kind of build some relationships with some very impressionable young people, and I really enjoy that. I'm on the security team, so sometimes you'll see me wearing my security badge, participating in the security checks and walk arounds, keeping the flock safe. And then pre-COVID, I don't think these things have resumed yet, but. As part of a connections team, back to that being very welcoming, it's super important. I can't underestimate how important that is. I'm probably not the best person at it. It's an area of growth for me, so that's why I strive to help out in that area. And then participating in life groups.
Great. Excellent. And yeah, we love having you pinch hit coming in. I can say as a WANA commander, I love having some more male presence there, and you helping to lead in that area this year with third and fourth grade, one of my favorite age groups there. So just share with us, if you wouldn't mind, your favorite Bible verse or particular passage of Scripture.
Yeah, for me, Pastor Brad, it's Psalm 119 has always been my go-to passage. You know, when I feel in my walk or starting to get into kind of routine, or find my attitudes not quite in check the way that should, feel myself growing cold, it really is my passage I run to. I read it multiple times throughout the year. I really love the passion that the psalmist has for the Word, most importantly, the God of the Word. I love his transparency, his honesty that comes out in the psalm for where he is versus where maybe he wants to be. You know, it's so real. There's just a few of my favorite segments I popped in here in my notes, just to let you hear the heart of the psalmist. You know, blessed are the undefiled in the way. I'm doing this from KJV because that's how I learned it. And who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Boy, if you want to if you want to keep yourself from sin, you know, walk in his ways. And if you want to walk in his ways, get in his word, right? Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. I mean, here you can hear the psalmist just saying, you know, it's like, wow, this is what I want to do. But, oh, man, if my ways were just directed to keep thy statutes, then I would not be ashamed. You know, how many times do we fall into sin and then we're ashamed, right? There's just a couple more segments. I'll just mention a few others. You know, that's the longest book or chapter in the Bible, so I'm not going to read all of it to you. But how about, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? This was important for me when I was younger. You know, by taking heed according to thy word. That's how you keep your way clean. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then this was a big one, and we probably memorize it in the ESV now. It's very different to me, but thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, I used to think when I was younger that the reason we hide God's word in our heart is because it's a command to. I have to, and it's sin not to. Well, there's probably some element of truth there, but the reality is we hide God's word in our heart to keep us from sin. Not because it's sin not to do so, but it keeps me from sin. I don't know, there's an old adage that, like, you know, the word of God will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the word of God.
That's good.
And then the last little bit is, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Boy, you know, in America, as a Christian living in this American environment and society, you know, we are so prone to covetousness, and I am. And so, you know, incline my heart unto your testimonies and turn away from covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Man, I can't even watch probably television if I'm going to do that, right? And quicken me thou in thy way. So it's just, I love that whole passage.
Yeah, I was actually reading parts of that today, actually, in my devotional time. in that I've kind of taken a couple sections at a time and split it out. And I appreciated that you shared there about just the realness of it, that when we read the Psalms, when we read those passages of the Bible, we see the full range of emotions from this is where I want to be, this is where I should be, this is what God's doing in me, this is who God is.
Absolutely.
It's beautiful, beautiful poetry, beautiful truth.
Absolutely.
One last question for you. And obviously this COVID-19 season, this pandemic that we've been under, has been kind of a crazy different time for everyone. I know that it's affected you all personally with your job, not traveling as much and many of those things.
Praise the Lord.
But what has the Lord personally been teaching you, and how has he been growing you during this season?
Yeah, Pastor Brad, I mean, there are so many distractions in 2020 with everything that's going on. You know, the pandemic and the government's response to the pandemic, which honestly I think is probably even a bigger distraction than the pandemic. Of course, I don't want to diminish the economic depression that's occurring as a result of the pandemic. My job has been fairly protected and safe from that at the present moment. That's not going to always change. The cultural and race upheavals, significant things that we're seeing all happening, colliding at the same time. And with that, the erosion of the rule of law and underpinning all of that, you know, there were, maybe it was an ongoing revolution before it that's still out there, is the gender identity and LGBTQIA+, I think is the most woke way of saying that now. Revolution that still is underway and is, you know, grabbing hold of these things when they can, these different agendas. And so one thing that God's been teaching me this year, and it's, you know, pretty significant for me and for Kathy, is just remembering our identity and position that we have in Christ. You know, Ephesians 2:4-7 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us," that's past tense, "seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Man, the implications of that verse and that passage are just huge. You know, one of the things he's been teaching me through all this turmoil that's going on is I'm not an American Christian. I'm not even a Christian American. I'm a follower of Christ who is already positionally seated in heavenly places that just happens to be traveling through a land called America in this world, in this life. And that doesn't mean I'm not thankful to be spending my time here in my current season of existence here in America. I definitely am. I'm very thankful. There's a lot of worse places that you can imagine one would grow up and live. But when things start to go off the rails, you know, I need to be reminded, as we all do, and to live out my real identity and position in Christ. And so I'm reminded of this settled reality by really focusing this last year by daily strengthening my walk in Christ. You know, the importance of bathing my mind in his word, seeking him in prayer. I'll tell you what, man, this side of glory, I really struggle as a man that seeks to win that daily battle with sin that we still have to war because of our flesh, whether it be the lust of that flesh or the lust of our eyes or pride. And if I don't spend time in his word daily and talk to my Lord in prayer, man, I'll be quickly off the rails. I really try, and I've, in the last couple of years, I read through God's word every single year, and I'm totally amazed at seemingly what little I learn, because I see things every year that I could swear were never there before, right? It is really important to stay immersed in God's word. The discipline of prayer, I'm learning that. You know, I've got a long way to go in this arena, my friends, but man, the mind is a difficult thing to control and focus. And there's no other environment like prayer that reveals how weak you are in that area. Real prayer is real work. So those are two areas where I remind myself of this settled reality. And I have to remind myself, I need to remind myself daily by seeking the Lord and living out this reality by. And here's a real practical example that I'm learning through this whole pandemic and this crisis. submitting to civil authority is submitting to the Lord Jesus. That's something that I've been in and out of his word over this last year, really paying attention to that. And how we respond to authority in our lives has far-reaching implications in our church, in our homes, in our communities. Man, I tell you what, Pastor Brad, the throughout the pages of Scripture, God places monumental emphasis on authority and the structures of authority. It's huge. I mean, you can look through the pages of Scriptures and spiritual decline in a nation or in a person, it's always directly related or associated with a bucking of that authority. Mm-hmm. An example of authority that's being challenged by our culture and even by the right is when we don't agree is our civil government and some of these rules with the pandemic. Yet Romans 13:1-2 states, "Let every person be subject to governing authorities. There is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God." That's a tough one to swallow sometimes when we don't like what's coming out in policy. "Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment." Wow, that's pretty significant. And so before I rile anybody up, you know, I'm not talking about obeying local authorities that would violate a command from Scripture. You know, God's the ultimate authority, and all authority on earth is delegated to them by God. I believe that. Our local authorities, our governor, our president, they're delegated their authority by God. What I'm talking about is obeying authority in all other cases, and I literally mean all. If it's not scripturally a violation of a command from Scripture, obey it. And man, what I'm learning, just to kind of wrap it up, is submission is easy when you agree with a policy, and not so much when you don't.
That's exactly right.
And this is an area for continued growth in my life. I don't have it all figured out, and there are those moments when I want to lash out, you know, what's going on. But this is what God's teaching me this year.
Well, I appreciate that, John, and we appreciate you joining us today. Just blessed to have you as our elder chairman. We're thankful that you're able to join us, and hope that, hey, maybe for some of you listening, that as you see John, as you see Kathy there at the church from now on, you know a little bit more about them. You'll be a little bit more informed about who's serving you on your elder board. And we will continue over the next several months to just continue to have elders on probably once a month. And they will share their testimonies and answer some of these similar questions just as John did. So thanks again for joining us today. Lord willing, we hope to see you for our next episode. Thank you.